Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to an exciting new episode of Next Best Adaptation. I'm Nicole Ackman, and I'm your host. And I'm joined today by Dan Bayer.
Hello.
And Will Mavity.
It's just the rhythm of...
Wait, does that say the rhythm of the Nile or the rhythm of the night? The song.
Because I always think the rhythm of the night.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's the night, not the Nile. Because I always thought the song was like about the Nile. So that, okay. That doesn't work at all in life.
No, Mavity, you're joking.
On our last episode, we discussed Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca and the upcoming Netflix adaptation. And so today we're back to talk about Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile.
Death on the Night, Nicole.
Death on the Nile is one of Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot novels. It was first published in November of 1937. It's a mystery novel about a murder that takes place while a group of mostly American and British middle and upper class people are on vacation in Egypt. And it's one of Christie's most famous novels, though probably not as beloved as Murder on the Orient Express or And Then There Were None. But it's been adapted many times, including into a play written by Agatha Christie herself in the 1940s. We are going to talk a bit about the 1978 film adaptation, and then we're also going to discuss the upcoming adaptation by Kenneth Branagh, which is due out later this year. But before we talk about films, it's book club time. So what were you guys' first thoughts on the novel?
Well, this is my second time reading it. I read it like a long time ago when I went through my Agatha Christie phase of reading like everything that I could get my grubby little hands on. And it has never been my favorite of hers. Certainly not my favorite of the Hercule Poirot books, but it's probably like at the bottom of the first tier or top of the second tier, I would say. It's good. It's entertaining. It's just not one of my favorites. I think like there are like a million characters and there's a lot of backstory before we even get to the titular Death on the Nile. And it kind of has that slow boat on a river feel to it, which
absolutely
is fine, but not my favorite pace for a murder mystery.
Yeah, I also would say like I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot, but it's not one of my favorites of her novels. And like you said, there's a lot of setup. Like it's very weird whenever you read a murder mystery and the murder doesn't happen until like halfway through the book.
Yeah, but what's interesting about it is I completely echo that, but I actually think it is more ripe for a film adaptation than some of her books that I like more. Like Murder of Roger Ackroyd is amazing, but a lot of what makes it work is the twist and the way it's revealed. And Murder on the Orient Express, I think, is a better book, but that's a pretty static location. You know, they tried to add a little bit in the film adaptation to move it out of the claustrophobic train environment. But with Death on the Nile, I do agree it's not as interesting or compelling a story, but it's kind of multiple locations. It's just a little bit more dynamic. There's several beats. There's more than one murder. So it's, I think that is an interesting element that some of her books that I prefer don't have.
Yeah. And I will say, you've got a cast of really interesting characters, and it is kind of nice that you get to spend time with them before the murder mystery part of it kind of kicks in, so that by the time that someone gets murdered, you actually care about who's been murdered. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like in a lot of murder mysteries, you never really are given any reason to care about the murder victim. Whereas this one, like, you've been with her for half a book at that point. So I think, like, at least for me, I was actually like, oh, that's sad. Like, right, I forgot that she was going to go at some point. But I do think that the characters are really interesting, and how your opinion changes on them as more is revealed about them is also very interesting.
Yeah, my two favorite parts of my two favorite things about the novel, that, or at least they were when I first wrote it. It was different this time. I liked that she actually embraced the travelogue nature of it. Like, there was really a lot about Egypt and the different sites that they go see, which I was like, since I was obsessed with archaeology and the pyramids and all that stuff when I first read it, I loved. Now I just think it slows it down a bit. is that, and the fact that we really do get to know the characters before anything happens, so that it does hurt when the person's murdered a little.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, she's also a, you know, man-stealing slut, so there's only so much sympathy you can have for her.
What's interesting about Lynette, though, as a character, is that I feel like, for me at least, whenever the book started, I was kind of won over by her in almost a, I want to say almost a Daisy Buchanan kind of way.
Well, she can't help it.
Like, you see why everyone around her is so drawn to her, because you're even kind of entranced a little bit against your better judgment. But then she obviously, you know, she takes the man from her friend very kind of frivolously almost. And so then you're like, oh, well, maybe I don't like her. But then I feel like for me, like, I was kind of getting a little bit won back over to her side at the point that she's murdered. And it was like, oh, okay, well, rip. But I like that you're kind of taken on that journey. And I think that you spend a lot of the early part of the novel being like, oh, well, Lynette's terrible. Okay, but yeah, Jackie's also terrible. But Lynette's worse. Well, maybe, I don't know. Like, Jackie's kind of going off the deep end. And I think that that's a really interesting dynamic.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death of a Film Star. Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.
What do you think about Daddy Poirot in this book as a character? Or should I say Daddy Poirot?
I can't.
It's one of the more empathetic times I think I've seen him in any of the Poirot books. When he really does try to talk with Jackie, and he seems to genuinely care for her in a way that you don't see him do a whole lot.
Yeah, I feel like he spends a lot of the early part of this book trying to prevent something bad from happening, both in terms of he's immediately suspicious that someone might do something bad to Lynette, because he kind of starts seeing that all these people have these connections to her. And he also definitely, he tries to talk Jackie out of, like, doing something bad. And he does have, like, almost a strange amount of empathy for her. And you also see that he's quite kind in dealing also with these eccentric ladies who are also a member of the party. And he also has quite a bit of sympathy for Rosalie and a lot of these young women who are trapped in these weird situations. Or difficult situations. And I do think that it is one of the most human times that we see him.
Yeah, and that continues, obviously, to some interesting decisions towards the end of the book, too. You know, you kind of think of Poirot as a bit of an asshole, and that's, you know, maybe this is part of the appeal for this is it's a development book for the muscles from Brussels. Or is that Von Tom?
The muscles from Brussels.
I can't.
No, this is the little gray cells.
It does feel like it develops his character, which I feel like not everyone does. In that you do see a softer side to him, and you do see him really also not just reacting to a crime that's already happened, but actively trying to keep something bad from happening. And I also think it's an interesting one because you kind of get the foil for him with the
Inspector Javert who gets on the boat.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Colonel Race.
And kind of their different styles and how I feel like as it's a nice thing in that for the reader, it's a little bit easier to follow Colonel Race's like train of thought. And he's much more apt
to, like...
That's
why he's not the world's greatest detective, though.
Well, but he's more apt to, like, lay everything out for you that they know, which I think as the reader can help you kind of keep up with
Definitely
it.
Definitely helpful, because there's so many characters on that damn boat.
There's so many!
Like, and you thought that there were a lot of people in, and then there were none in the Murder on the Orient Express. Like, no, try that and double it.
Well, but also, okay, so that's something I don't like about this one as much, is that there's a lot of characters in those books, and there's a reason for that. It factors in, whereas to an extent, some of the people present here don't add that much.
Yeah.
And just give it kind of, I mean, do you agree with that?
Hello, everyone. Sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our full review of the Agatha Christie book, Death on the Nile, here on the Next Best Adaptation, part of the Next Best Picture podcast, where we review novels that will hopefully be in the Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar race come later this year. The full 55-minute long review can be listened to if you head on over to Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get this and other exclusive podcast content from nextbestpicture.com. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Acast, CastBox, and also on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.